Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nozir Daf Samach Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins the 9th perek of Maseches Nozir, Perek Hakusim. The name of the Perek Hakusim is in truth a reference to Gentiles. The term Kusim sometimes is a reference to a peoples whose conversion to Judaism was, let's say, questionable. In this case, you can see Rashi makes reference to Ovdei Kechavim. The Mishnah, Hakusim Ein Lohem Nazirus. Kusim, if they vow to be Nazirim, it's not recognized as a binding vow. The Tosfos adds, and let's read the Tosfos together. Hakusim ein lahem nazirus, v'ein korbonon korev. A nozir, as you know, at the end of his nazirus brings sacrifices. A Gentile who accepted nazirus, his sacrifices would not be accepted. Afagav de mekabel mehem nedarim nedavus. Even though, in general, we accept from Gentiles voluntary offerings. And the Gemara will spend time on this topic. From where do we know this point? So that we have an interesting situation where, on the one hand, Gentiles are able to vow to bring sacrifices to the Beis HaMikdash, and we accept them. On the other hand, a vow to observe Nazirus and its subsequent sacrifices on the part of Gentiles is not accepted. The Mishnah continues, Noshim Vavodim Yesh Lahen Nazirus. Women and slaves do have Nazirus, meaning they can accept Nazirus and it will be binding. Chomer Benoshim Mi Vavodim. There's a Chumrah that you find by women that you do not find by slaves. Shukaifes Avdo. The master of a slave can force his servant, who may have accepted Nazirus, can force him to violate it, to drink wine, whereas a husband cannot force his wife, who accepted Nazirus, to violate it. This, of course, is notwithstanding the halacha that a husband, if he acts quickly upon hearing his wife's vow and wants to annul it, that's a different story. But here we're dealing with a woman who happened to vow. The husband was aware of it and he didn't annul it. He can no longer do anything about it. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei, topic heading, Ha di'ein nazirus la'akum, that which we say that there is no nazirus. Nazirus is not binding when it comes to Gentiles. Nidrash midichtiv, the parshas nazir, it's derived from a posuk, at least at this point in the Gemara, that says, B'nei Yisrael. And we infer, V'lo akum. The posuk addresses the B'nei Yisrael, the Jewish people, leaving room to infer Jewish people, yes, not Gentiles. The Gemara. Kotoni, it said in our Mishnah, Kusim ein lohem nazirus, that Gentiles don't have nazirus. Mino hani mili. Detonu rabbonan. The Tosfos here says, Mino hani mili, the oivde kechovim elem nazirus, holo bishar nedorim dinam kisrael. How do we know that Gentiles don't have Nazirus when, in fact, regarding other vow sacrifices, their law is like that of a Jew. Kidichtiv, ish, ish. There's a double expression in the Torah dealing with sacrifices. L'rabbis ovdei kechavim shenojim nedar medovas kisrael v'ochanami nederhu. Nazirus is also a form of self-imposed vow. So from where do we know, like the Mishnah says, that kusim, that Gentiles, are not included in Nazirus? The Gemara continues. Daber el b'nei Yisrael. Detonu Rabbonon. We have the following Tanaic source. Daber el b'nei Yisrael. The Pasuk speaks to the Jewish people that they accept Nazirus. Velo lo ovdei kechavim. So we infer from the expression Bnei Israel, and not idol worshippers. V'omarto alehem, that also appears in the pasuk. Lerabois es havodim, to include slaves as being bound by Nazirus. The Gemara asks, Loma likra, why do I need a special phrase to include slaves? We have a principle. Kol mitzvah sho isha chayev es bo, eved chayev bo. Any mitzvah that a woman is bound to, a slave is bound to. And we know that women who accept Nazirus, their Nazirus vow is binding. So why over here do we have to specify that slaves are also bound through a special scriptural reference? The Gemara answers, Amar Rava. And note, we have a long answer here. Shaini Hacha, the case of Nazirus is a bit different. The Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, regarding vows, it says, Lesor Isor Al Nafshoi. And we learn from this Pasuk that appears in the context of vows, B'mi Shenafshoi Knuyo Lo. Who is bound by his vows? The one who is in charge of himself, whose life is under his own control. Yotza eved she'ein nafsho knuyo lo. The pasuk would exclude, this particular pasuk dealing with vows in general, would exclude a slave. He is not in control of his own life. And since he does not own his own life, so to speak, he's rather owned by a master. So I would think that just like by vows we see that slaves are excluded, so too with regard to Nazirus. Chomash Malon, here we have a special pasuk V'yamarta Aleihem, to include slaves in Nazirus, even though we find that regarding other vows, they are excluded. Omar Mar. This is a quote from what we just saw above. Daber el b'nei Yisrael, v'lo le'ovdei kechavim. And from this we learned that the Gentiles do not have Nazirus. The Gemara asks, v'chol hecha dechsiv Yisrael le'ovdei kechavim lo. And wherever you see Yisrael, does that mean that Gentiles are excluded? V'ha gabi erechin dechtiv daber el b'nei Yisrael. We have a section in the Torah dealing with erechin. Now, erechin is a situation where a person accepts upon himself to donate to the Beis HaMikdash his or her Torah set value. We say Torah set value, which is based on gender and age, not based on market value. So the Torah mentions that there is a scale of amounts based on one's age and gender, that if one says, I accept my erech upon me, he'll give a certain amount of money as is specified in the Torah. Likewise, someone can vow to give the erech of someone else based on their age and gender. So in the parsha of the Torah, which deals with erechin, it says, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, Vitanya, and the Tanaic source tells us, B'nei Yisrael ma'arichin vein ho'ivdei kechavim ma'arichin. Jews are bound if they accept upon themselves an erech dedication, but Gentiles do not, are not bound if they accept upon themselves an erech. However, yochol lo yu ne'erochim, could it be that Gentiles are excluded from being the subject of an erech? Talmud lomar ish. So the word ish tells me that if, let us say, a Jew wants to give the erech of some Gentile, the vow, the pledge will be binding. And all we have to do is establish the gender and the age of that particular Gentile, and the Jew's vow or pledge is binding. But what do we see? We see that even though you have a parsha that mentions B'nai Yisrael, Gentiles are not totally excluded. So now this lays the foundation for a rather long discussion, and that's why you notice we have a firebox around the word erechin, because this question is going to be analyzed and attempted answers given to it as we go through the sugya, which of course continues on to Amud Beis. Before we go further, we have some notes on the side. First of all, the topic heading, the nosei, we call Hemshech, because we already mentioned that Gentiles are excluded from Nazirus based on B'nai Yisrael. So here we have written Kushya. We have a problem. We have in the Torah the term B'nai Yisrael in the case of Erechin, and Gentiles are not excluded. How do we answer this question? So now we have some structural notes. And we have a very involved sukkah here with regard to structural considerations and, let's say, attention to details. So on the side, we have under the Mivneh heading a crown shape. These crowns introduce tshuvos la-she'ela me'erechin, answers to the question that we're raising from the case of Erechin. Let us take a bird's eye view approach to our Gemara. We open up right after the source that we read. The Gemara says, "Shiny hacha." We have a crown around that. Yomakro, the aviv ulima lo yitama. This is a pasuk by Nazirus, and from this pasuk, we're to figure out how Gentiles are excluded from Nazirus. So that one thing is clear, and that is that by the mere fact that it says B'nai Yisrael by Nazirus, that's not enough to exclude exclude Gentiles. So how do we exclude them? So answer Aleph, this crown that we labeled Aleph, no, the first approach, is citing this pasuk, L'ovav ulimo lo yitama. How we see exclusion of Gentiles from Nazirus from this pasuk, that takes a lot of work. If you skip ahead, as we said, the bird's eye view approach brings us to the middle, almost, of Amud Beis. You see, in there it says Ela Omar Rava, and that is a second approach. And notice we have a long marking attached to that Beis in a crown that you see to the side of the Gemara text. So, just again, general picture. How do we establish that Gentiles are excluded from the Nazirus? The first approach, citing this pasuk, how you see from there the Gentiles are excluded, we didn't say a word about that. after pursuing this, the logic or the sources and the comparisons and proofs and points and details, using this pasuk, we're going to run into some difficulty. And that is the reason that the Bayes approach is introduced, where you see Ella Omar Rava. And we'll wait till we get there to see what his approach is. But before we get to the Bayes, of course, we said we have a lot of work to do, having introduced this pasuk of La'aviv Limoy Lo Itamo. You'll notice we have a trapezoid or volcano shape on our Mivneh heading, under our Mivneh heading, we've noted, Droshos Me'aposuk Li'oviv Limo Lo Yitamo. We're going to analyze, we're going to darshan this posuk. Gisha Rishona Mad Gisha Oviv. The first approach taken by the Gemara focuses on the word Oviv in the posuk. The posuk, once again, is found in the context of Nazirus. So, the first approach is going to focus on the word Aviv, one's father, in that Pasuk. The Pasuk says that the Nazir is not allowed to defile himself to the corpse of his father. Base. Gisha Shnia, Mad Gisha Lo Yitama. The second approach in analyzing this Pasuk, with the hope of seeing how Gentiles are excluded from Nazirus, is by emphasizing the phrase Lo Yitamo in that pasuk. So, volcano shapes? So you see one very shortly after we'll pick up the Gemara. And then you'll see, and we said that approach highlights the term Oviv. At the bottom line, you'll see a second approach emphasizing the issue of Tumah, of defilement. There's another marking that we'll see with the appearance of a diamond. And what we've written on the side is Shlavim Bahavonas Gisha Aleph. These diamonds are stages in trying to understand the first approach. The first approach, which, as we said, emphasizes the word Oviv. Yesh l'sim lev shu mamshich bo mitbeis achrei asograyim. We're going to have a bracketed section, and following the bracketed section, a third diamond will appear. So that these three diamonds are attempts, let's to analyze or to darshan the Oviv appearance in the pasuk. What do we mean by having this bracketed section? So when we get closer to that in the Gemara, we'll pause and make note of that. So once again, it's important to see the general picture. The crown shape in this case highlights the answers to the question raised from Erechin. How is it that by Erechin you see the term B'nai Yisrael and the Gentiles are not excluded, whereas when it comes to Nazirus, we're telling you that Gentiles are excluded? Let us now turn back to the Gemara. The question was raised, and now we proceed with an answer. Shaini Hocha. Nazirus is different. In the case of Nazirus, we will exclude Gentiles. If a Gentile vows to be a Nazir, we're not going to accept in the Beis HaMikdash korbonos of a Gentile who concluded his Nazirus observance. He wasn't bound to begin with, so those sacrifices are not valid. And why is Nazirus different? Because the Pasuk says, Yomar Krol, Yoviv Ulimoi, Lo Yitamo. And what are we supposed to derive from this? B'mi Sheyesh Lo Av. Nazirus applies, and now again, we said this pasuk is from the topic of Nazir, Bamidbar Perek Vav Pasuk Zayin, in the heart of the Torah section dealing with Nazir. And we learn from this, one who has a father, B'mishi Yeshlo Av, Yotza Oyveit Kechavim, to the exclusion of Gentiles, She'ein Lo Av. And we'll translate, Gentiles do not have father. Now, as we've said many times, for those who are veteran Gemara markings participants, one of the pitfalls in learning Talmud is the literal translation of words. Literal translations have a certain value, but you have to know how to limit their value and to understand your Talmud learning more in terms of principles, halachic categories, etc. But do not stick to literal translations. And here is a classic example of how a literal translation has almost no meaning. What do you mean, Gentiles don't have fathers? Lemai. So they're going to ask, what do you mean? Regarding what? And here we have the diamonds indicate our stages in trying to understand what do you mean by saying that Gentiles don't have Av. If you're to suggest that they don't have a concept of fatherhood with regard to inheritance. The concept of inheritance, or the institution of inheritance, is from father to son. Father dies, leaves his property to his son, father to son, generation after generation. So, are you telling us that only Jews then have the concept of inheritance and Gentiles don't? That's not true. V'amar Rabbi Chiya bar Avin, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Oyvei Kechavim, Yoyresh es Oviv Devar Torah. A Gentile inherits his father from the Torah. The Torah acknowledges Gentile inheritance. Shenemar ki Yerusha li Esav Nosati es Har Seir. The Pasuk declares that unto Esav, who is the classic Gentile, unto Esav was given as an inheritance Mount Seir. So we see that Esav has inheritance. Gentiles have inheritance. So what do you mean that the Pasuk by Nazir, which speaks about Aviv, Avivim Elo Yitamah, he who has Aviv, who has the concept of father, has Nazirus. He doesn't have the concept of father, doesn't have Nazirus. Elo, stage number two. B'mi shemuzhar al kibud Aviv. Nazirus applies to someone who is commanded to have respect for one's father. So that the word Aviv in the Nazir Pasuk is a hint or a reflection of the concept of thou shalt respect your father. And so who is commanded in respect of father? Jews are. Gentiles are not commanded. It's very nice if a Gentile respects his father, but it's not a divine commandment that is incumbent upon Gentiles. The Gemara rejects this. Mi ksiv kabeid avicha gabi nazir. In the Torah section dealing with nazirus, you don't see any reference to the respect owed to one's parents. When you see the word Aviv, you don't automatically associate the word Aviv with the mitzvah of Kabeid es Avicha. So, to exclude Gentiles on the basis of this of this thesis that Aviv is a reference to Kibbutz Av just doesn't hold up. If we skip the bracketed section momentarily, use your bracket length indicator, and you see that it takes you to Amud Beis, Rav Acha bar Yankiv Omar. So what he does is he goes back to, in effect, point one that dealt with Yerusha. And Rav Acha bar Yankiv tells us, and we're using the Tosfos commentary, and who explains that Rav Acha bar Yankiv is going back to the idea of if he who has a father with regard to inheritance. Here the point is a specific kind of inheritance. It's a section in the Torah where inheritance is spelled out in very explicit terms. And that is the Torah section dealing with the inheritance of slaves. In that context, the concept of fatherhood appears, of fathers bequeathing unto their children slaves. Who has that power? That is when you have a Jew bequeathing unto his descendants, unto his children, slaves. Gentiles don't do that. We skip the bracketed section to show how approach three in the diamond is a reflection back to, number one, the concept of Av, that we do emphasize the word Av in the Pasuk, and more specifically, Av as a source of inheritance. And what Rav Acha's innovation is it limits the concept of Av over here to the inheritance, the bequeathing of slaves. Now we have a brackets that needs explanation, though. So now, before we get into the Gemara itself, we have a note on the side. You see there's a double-starred note, and it reads, Ikir Matris HaSograyim, the main purpose of these brackets, Litzor Kesher B'gishoy Shishchilu B'number 1, Sheboyim Lasbir, we're trying to create a connection between diamond number 3 and the diamonds that appeared before the bracketed section that come to explain Yotza Oivid Kechavim Shein Lo Av, where we said Goyim or Gentiles are excluded that insofar as they don't have Av, they don't have the concept of Av, and we pointed out the concept of Av has to do with he who bequeaths in the context of inheritance. Aval ein l'sogrim elu matras dilug. Even though we did this, we skipped the bracketed section, that's not the main purpose. That's not what it's... elsewhere in Gemara markings, we have seen where the skipping was necessary in order to maintain a sense of logical flow. That's not what these brackets are for. In other words, even if there were no brackets here, we'd be able to easily read the Gemara smoothly ahead. So our purpose is not for skipping. Ki tshuvas Rav Acha, the number 3 diamond, be'omid beis have a shiluv. In fact, is a combination shel ha dinemar lifnei asagrayim u'mash dinemar b'soicham. When we get to number 3, you'll see that we will need to combine the information within the bracketed section plus that which we saw already before the brackets. So that number 3, when we get there, doesn't stand as a new approach on its own, but rather you need to combine information from before and that which you find in the bracketed section. Now the Gemara. We continue with the bracketed section. We just pointed out that the Pasuk, Bamidbar Vav Pasuk Zayin, Li'aviv Lima Lo Yitamah, and to try to focus on Aviv as being the basis of excluding Gentiles, it hasn't worked so far. Elo Omar Kro. And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk again, Lo'aviv Lima Lo Yitamah, the Pasuk by Nazir. And what do we derive from this Pasuk? B'mi Sheyesh Lo Tumah. To the Pasuk spoke about a Nazir being forbidden to defile himself to the death of his mother, his father, or to any other relatives for that matter. So, in describing Nazirus, who is the Torah addressing? B'mi Sheyesh Lo Tumah. It's addressing those people who have the concept of defilement. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, Yotza Oyved Kechavim She'ein Lo Tumah. You'll notice with our markings, what we've done is we use a double underline where you see the expression Yotza Oyved Kechavim. On what grounds are we excluding the Gentiles from the Nazirus? The first double underline had Yotza Vikavim, followed by a dashed underline She'ein Lo Av. Here we have Yotza Oyved Kechavim She'ein Lo Tumah. Once again, it's the same Pasuk, but an emphasis on a different word in that Pasuk. So how do we know that Goyim, that Gentiles are excluded from Nazirus? Because the Torah is addressing those people who have the concept, the legal institution of defilement as relevant to them. Goyim, Gentiles don't experience Tumah. The Gemara asks, Minolan de Leslu Tumah, from where do we know that Gentiles don't have Tumah? The Omar Kro, the Isha Sher Yitmah Velo Yischata, the Nichrusu Anefashi Mitoch HaKohol. When we speak, by the way, about Tumah, bear in mind that we also, in Nazirus, we're interested primarily in Tumas Meis. I'm saying that as a side point, but the Pasuk that is cited here happens to come from the section in the Torah that deals with purification or lack thereof from Tumas Meis. So that the Pasuk says, and he who does not, someone who became defiled and doesn't experience, Velo Yischata means he doesn't cleanse himself through the Poraduma water ash mixture, which cleanses someone from Tumas Meis, as we've discussed often in the past, and he then, let us say, enters the Beis HaMikdash, or he eats sacrifices in that state, is Chayav Kores. And the Pasuk says, V'nichrus ha'nefeshi mitoch ha'kohol. So, our question is, how do you know that Goyim, that Gentiles, do not have Tumah? Because the Pasuk, when talking about the laws of Tumah and Tara, it mentions the offender will be cut off from his kahol. And we learn from here, B'mi sheyesh lo kahol, someone who has the concept of kahol. The concept of kahol means community, assembly, people. Mi sheyesh lo kahol, yotza zeh, She'ein lo kahol, to the exclusion of Gentiles, to whom the concept of kahol does not apply. As we indicated before, translation is simply insufficient. The idea of kahol, a community, is a concept. And for our purposes, let us just understand, even the Rosh says it, to kahal oivde kechavim lo ikri kahal, an assembly of Gentiles. It's an assembly, you can say that in English, but it doesn't reflect a halachic concept of kahal. The Gemara asks, Mimai, who says that this is definitive? Dilma koreis hu dolo mechayev, avol itmuye metamu, maybe all that we can say about Gentiles is that if they become Tomei and eat a sacrifice or enter the Beis Hamikdash, they're not going to be Chayev Kores. They won't be guilty of that punishment. But, and that's what the Pasuk was addressing. It said, and he who violates the laws of Tumah will be cut off from the Kahal. So the Kahal is in the context of being cut off, i.e. Kores. So who says that that is the defining factor for Tumah and hence Gentile exclusion from Nazirus? Maybe all that is to be said is that they don't suffer Kores, but Tumah they can experience. Omar Kra, so the Pasuk says, V'hizah HaTahor Al HaTomei. From that Pasuk, which is also from Bamidbar Perek Yutes, we learn, Kol Sheyesh Lo Tahara Yesh Lo Tumah. Anyone who can experience purification, he is someone that can absorb defilement. V'chol she'en lo tahara, all those that don't experience purification, ein lo tumah, they don't have defilement. And in giving this answer, we're basically saying that oivdei kechavim don't have tahara. And Tosfos points this out on the first narrow line. Tosfos, second word on line, says Dichtiv Oisa La'adas Bnei Yisrael LeMishmeres LeMei Nido Chatos Hi. This is a pasuk dealing with the Pora Aduma, the red heifer ash water mixture used for the purification in the case of defilement to the dead. And in this pasuk, you saw it's LeMishmeres LeVnei Bnei Yisrael LeVnei Yisrael. It said that this is a special teaching for the purpose of the Jewish people, and we infer v'lo la'ovdei kochavim kafi hakuntras or kapirish hakuntras. The Gemara continues. V'ema, maybe tahara hu delo havyale tuma havyale, maybe the Gentiles don't have tahara, but they do have Tumah. Omar Kra, the Gemara says, you cannot separate the two. Ve'ish asher yitmah ve'lo yischata. Again, this is a quote from Pasuk Chof before, that the two concepts are inextricably related to one another. The ish asher yitmah, that's obviously Tumah. Ve'lo yischata, that is a reference to purification. And the Pasuk itself, it says, he who became Tomei and doesn't bother purifying himself, so he'll be subject to all kinds of penalties in the event that he enters the Beis HaMikdash. But for our purposes, the two concepts, Tumah and Tahara, are compared to one another. And therefore, he who doesn't have Tahara does not have Tumah. And since we've demonstrated, we saw the Tosfos before, that goyim do not have tahara, lemishmeres, lemain, voice ladas bnei Yisrael lemishmeres, it's for the Jewish people, the tahara, not for the Gentiles, hence they don't have tumah either. So, at this point in the Gemara, if you want to know how is it that Gentiles are excluded from Nazirus? So we quoted the Pasuk, Li'aviv u'li'ima lo yitamah, and we learned that Nazirus affects those who have Tumah. Those who don't have Tumah, those who don't experience the concept or the laws of defilement, are not addressed by the Torah regarding Nazirus. So that even though Bnei Yisrael appears by Nazirus, and it applies by Erechin, and by Erechin we did not exclude Gentiles, By Nazirus, we exclude Gentiles on the grounds of their not having Tumah. Hence, they don't have an association with Nazirus. Nazirus is an entity or a concept that applies to those who experience Tumah. We continue, Rav Acho bar Yankiv Omar, and we explained, and this we're doing with our markings. He is a flashback or reverts back to the approaches that we saw under the first volcano shape, which was emphasizing drushes concerning Av, the pasuk li'ovavu imo lo yitama, where we emphasized Av. So Rav Acho bar Yankiv goes back to that approach. By the way, we said earlier, he's not going to be excluding the Tumah approach. But he says, Shaini hocha, diomar kro, visnachaltem oisom livnechem acharechem. And he says, Kol shi yeshlo nachlo yeshlo Tumah. He who has nachlo is a reference to fatherhood. Anyone who has fatherhood, and we add in the context of bequeathing slaves, yeshlo Tumah. The very pasuk had said, li'ovivu limo lo yitama. So there is a juxtaposition between oviv and Tumah, and Rav Acha is certainly acknowledging that. What kind of father has Tumah, so to speak? That kind of father that's capable of bequeathing slaves. V'chol she'ein lo nachlo, ein lo Tumah. And he who doesn't have the concept of bequeathing slaves, he doesn't have Tumah, thereby excluding Gentiles. Now, we didn't explain in depth how do we know that Gentiles are excluded from the realm of bequeathing slaves. If we look together in the Tosfos, Rav Acho bar Yankiv, the lower part of the narrow lines, Rav Acho bar Yankiv Omar, Visnachaltem oisom livnechem acharechem, avodim koi. This pasuk is a reference to bequeathing slaves. And it says, bequeathing slaves to your children that follow you. Avodim koi. Now, Rav Acho bar Yashev droshes shel aviv d'liel. Rav Acho is reverting back to the emphasis on the word aviv in the pasuk, and that's what the first two diamonds were doing in our Gemara markings. Mi sheyesh lo av le'inyan kol yerusha hamufureshes batorah. He who has, and let me say that the parsha of Nazir is speaking to someone who has the concept of father with regard to all areas of inheritance. The Yerushas Avodah Mefureshes Bakro, the concept of bequeathing slaves is explicit. Divisnachaltem in that very pasuk. That pasuk was dealing with bequeathing of slaves. The Oivei Kichavim Eino Morish Avdo Lebonov. Gentiles, if he owns a slave, does not, upon his death, have the slave passed down to his son. Goyim, it's true they may own slaves, but they don't have an inherent sense of ownership. Literally, a kinyan haguf, kinyan beguf, means the ownership of the body. There's a work obligation that exists between a slave that was and his Gentile owner, but that's a kinyan momon. It's not a kinyan haguf. And as a result of that absence of ownership, that level of that deep level of ownership, so we say that atem kinyan mehem v'lo hem kinyan mikem v'lo hem kinyan zeh zeh. Jews can acquire Gentiles as slaves. They cannot acquire Jews as slaves in the full sense of the word, in the kinyan haguf sense. Of course, a Gentile can acquire a Jew, and the Jew is obligated to work for him, but it doesn't extend to this additional let's say, level of ownership known as kinyan haguf, ownership of body. And likewise, velohen kinyan zezeh, Gentile does not acquire Gentile either. Imkein kol sheyesh lo nachlo b'avodim kori oviv. Anyone who has bequeathing powers with regard to slaves, he is called oviv. Vavi b'chlal oviv limelo yitamo is included in the pasuk of Nazirus that mentions the prohibition of defilement to oviv. V'chol she'en lo nachlo eino b'chlal tumo, and he who is not included in the realm of bequeathing slaves is not included in the realm of defilement. Klomar b'chlal ovivimo lo yitamo is not included in that what the pasuk is referring to. The pasuk once again is a pasuk for our purposes, not translating the pasuk, but it's defining to whom Nazirus applies. Well, after all has been said, we continue with a very brief question: Ihachi avodim nami lo. Well, if you're saying that Nazirus is dependent on fatherhood, and fatherhood is defined by he who has the power to bequeath slaves, well, slaves don't bequeath slaves. So how is it that you said in the Mishnah that Avodim Yeshlam Nazirus, that Avodim are part of Nazirus, that an Eved, a slave, can accept Nazirus, but slaves, as we just said, slaves don't bequeath slaves. Therefore, we go to a new approach. Ela Omar Rova. And that's why you see a crown shape labeled Beis. Because what happens, as we said earlier, crown number one, Aleph, crown Aleph, was developing the exclusion of Gentiles based on the pasuk of La'oviv limo lo yitamo. We run into a snag now, because if you're going to darshan that pasuk the way we've attempted to present it, you're going to end up excluding slaves from Nazirus. And that's certainly according to the approach suggested by Rav Acha Bar Yankiv. So following his approach, we run into this trouble. Elo Omar Rava. We continue in the Gemara. Rava explains, Bishlamo Gabi Erechin. I understand with regard to Erechin why B'nai Yisrael does not exclude Gentiles. It said, B'nai Yisrael Marichin, Vein Oivdi Kechavim Marichin. We saw that Jews can pledge an erech goyim. Gentiles are not bound by their erech pledge. Yochol lo yunerochin. Is it so that they're not the subject of a pledge? Talmud lomar ish. The word ish includes the Gentiles with regard to erechin. Hacha. In the case of Nazir. Now we have a point that takes a few lines to develop. You notice we, starting with Rava, all of this is one long trend of thought. And the Gemara now contrasts Nazir with what we said regarding Erechin. Hacha by Nazir. And we're going to present what's called a Havamina, an initial thought that's going to be rejected, and that rejection is going to be our main point. So, hacha, with regard to Nazir, B'nai Yisrael, if you're going to try to darshan using the same style as we did by Erechin, you're going to darshan Nazir the same way, what would you come out with? The following. B'nai Yisrael, Nazirin u'mevi'in korban, v'ein ho'evdi kachavim, Nazirin u'mevi'in korban. Jews bind themselves to Nazirus and bring sacrifices. Gentiles do not bind themselves to Nazirus and bring sacrifices. Yochol af lo yu Nazirin klal? Would it be that they're not Nazirim at all? Talmud lomar ish. Well, let's say you see the word ish appears by Nazirus, so the word ish will include Goyim as far as being Nazirim. Now, do you want to say that? Once again, do you want to say that B'nai Yisrael excludes the Gentiles from being full-fledged Nazirim, meaning they observe Nazirus and bring sacrifices, so they're excluded from that. But the word Ish that you find by Nazirus will include the Goyim as being able to become Nazirim. But like, this cannot be. Amri, E Mishum Korban, Lav Mehocha Nafkole, Elo Mehosam. The drosha to exclude Gentiles from the Korban is not based on B'nai Yisrael. It's based on Le'olah, a word in the Torah, the word Le'olah in the context of sacrifices, and we learn from that word Prat L'Nazirus, Divrei Rabbi Yossi HaGlili. We exclude Gentiles from the Nazir sacrifices based on the word Le'olah. So what am I left with? I'm left with B'nai Yisrael, which will end up excluding the Gentiles completely from Nazirus. So what we've said is that the term B'nai Yisrael that you find by Erechin is different than the term B'nai Yisrael that you find by Nazirus. In the context of Erechin, we had B'nai Yisrael, but that would have excluded Gentiles, but you have the word Ish to include them. In the case of Nazirus, you've got B'nai Yisrael, which excludes Gentiles, and that will in effect exclude them completely. Therefore, the term B'nai Yisrael doesn't exclude them from Korbanos. Olah excludes them, the Gentiles, from the Korbanos of Nazirus. If you're going to say that the word Ish by Nazirus will include the Goyim, so the question will be, so then what did B'nai Yisrael exclude them from? Therefore, we are left with B'nai Yisrael excludes Gentiles completely from Nazirus. As we continue in the Gemara, a series of triangles appear, and on the side under our Mivneh heading, Hatzaos Chilufios L'drosh B'nai Yisrael. We're going to introduce alternative suggestions in how to deal with B'nai Yisrael that you find by Nazir. Ema B'nai Yisrael Nozrim Nazirus Olam V'ein Ha'ovdei Kachavim Nozrim Nazirus Olam. Let us say that the B'nai Yisrael excludes Gentiles from accepting Nazirus Olam. Now, Nazirus Olam we've seen in the past, some people we'll call it for our purposes a lifelong Nazirus. So, Jews have lifelong Nazirus as a possibility, Gentiles do not. Yachol lo yu Nazirim, could it be that they're not Nazirim at all? Talmud loimar ish. The word ish would come to include them regarding basic, short-term Nazirus. Am Rabbi Yochanan Miksiv Nazir Olam. Does the Torah spell out the concept of Nazir Olam? If the Torah spelled it out, so then I can say that B'nai Yisrael is focused on that. But the Torah doesn't spell it out. Therefore, when the term B'nai Yisrael appears, and we use it to limit it to Jews to the exclusion of Gentiles, it's referring to all kinds of Nazirus. Well, Amar, try this out. B'nai Yisrael, Medirin B'nai'em B'nazir, V'eino Evdei Kachavim, Medirin B'nai'em B'nazir, Yachalo Yu Nazirim, at all, Talmud Lomar Ish. Maybe B'nai Yisrael tells me that amongst the Jews, a father can impose Nazirus on his son, a topic that we've learned in the past. Goyim, Gentiles, don't have the power of imposing Nazirus on their sons. Does that mean that goyim, that Gentiles are excluded entirely from nazirus? Talmud Lomar ish, no ish, that you find by nazirus will include them, that they have nazirus. The Gemara says that is that suggestion is rejected. Ha'omer Rabbi Yochanan halocha he benazir. This idea of father imposing nazirus on son is not a scriptural point. It's based on halacha l'moshe misin. It's based on an oral tradition. And as such, you cannot say that the pasuk, the scripture, when it speaks about B'nai Israel, is coming to exclude the Gentile from Madir es Beno, which, when in fact Madir es Beno is not something referred to in the scripture. You can say that the scripture is coming to exclude another point that happens to be mentioned in the scriptures, but not something that's derived through oral transmission. Well, so that we see suggestion number two is rejected. Amal, B'nei Yisrael Megalchen al Nazirus Avihen. Maybe B'nai Yisrael comes to exclude the Gentiles from the right to use the monies that one's father had set aside for Nazirus sacrifices. Jews can do that. That's Megalchan Nazirus Avihem, a sukkah that we've seen in the past. And Goyim not. That's what B'nai Yisrael would exclude. We continue at the top of the Afsamach Beis. Yochol lo yu nazirin. Could it be that the Gentiles don't have nazirus whatsoever? Talmud loimar ish. So the word ish, like we saw by Erechin, would include the Gentiles for nazirus. The Gemara rejects that. Ha itmar amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha hi benazir. Rabbi Yochanan said regarding this too, this idea that a son can use the funds set aside by his father for Nazirus sacrifices is something derived from oral tradition. Halacha l'moshe misinai. It's not based on the scriptures. And therefore, you cannot say that B'nai Yisrael excludes Gentiles from that facet of Nazirus being something that is based on simply halacha l'moshe misinai, not the pasuk. Therefore, B'nai Yisrael, as far as we're concerned, is left to exclude Gentiles altogether from Nazirus. And as far as Erechin is concerned, even though you saw B'nai Yisrael, there the word Ish came to include the Gentiles as being related to the Parsha of Erechin, insofar as they're being Ne'erochin, being the subject of an Erech, even though they don't initiate an Erech. A detail that we should mention before we conclude is that, well, what does the word ish do in the case of Nazir? If we're saying that ish is not here to include the Gentiles, so Rashi pointed out that the word ish appears by Nazir only because the pasuk made reference to isha, where the Torah had said ish o isha, and the word isha, woman, has a reason to be written. We have laws to be derived from that. So in completing the picture, the Torah uses the word ish as well, but not for any inclusive purposes. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.